Well, thanks for having me, everyone. You know, these smartwatches are amazing. I've got a function on here that I don't really remember exists until I'm sitting over there and I see a notification that says, "You are unusually stressed, relax." And I'm like, thanks. That's really helping me just set the mood. But gotta love technology. So today, I'm going to be sharing on community. And this is something that's been stirring in my heart for a while. And I think it's a pretty big deal for us as a church. I mean, if a church cannot be a community, then I think the system is broken. But here's a bit of a disclaimer. For those of you that are listening online or you're sitting here this morning, maybe it's your first time, I would love to remind everybody that we are not a perfect church, by no means. We are far from being perfect people, although my wife comes pretty close. When we get up here to share, teach, or preach, it is not out of a place of perfection or accomplishment, but rather a place of conviction and reflection. As we walk towards Him, He reveals more of His nature to us. And here at Oceanside Church, we want to be more of God. We want more of His presence and more of His ways. Just because this is what church currently looks like when you come in here, doesn't mean that's how it's going to stay. Okay, if you think of an infant child, you visit a friend that's just had a baby, and the child is in a high chair and in a stroller and crawling around on the floor. If you visit that family after 5 years, and the same thing's happening, it's concerning, okay? Something's not right. And in the same sense, like if our church remains looking the same, then we're not doing it right. If your life is not looking the same, you're not doing it right, okay? God's word is powerful, powerful. If we take it, put it in our hearts, meditate on it, let it work through our minds, it will change us. It will. Okay, if your mindset, the way you're doing life, the way that you treat your wife, your husband, the way that you raise your kids, the way that you interact with your neighbors remains the same, then you're not allowing the Word of God to change you. It's out of this place that I'd like to share some thoughts on practicing community. In the world, over the past 100 plus years, we have seen a steady breakdown of everything that is community. Local communities, or the typical village or small town life, has radically changed because of the invention of the industrial age, the invention of transport, aircraft, you name it. That has been exaggerated even further with the invention of the internet, and I guess the most recent add-on is this little device coming to us through our left or right pockets. Community and the practice of helping to live better has never been harder than it is right now. It's never been harder. If we consider human nature and the tendencies that we follow when we look to the world and everything and the whole progress of the nations, if we look and follow those trends, then it is harder and harder for us to look at Scripture, look at what Jesus did, what He calls us to do, and apply that and be different to the world. There's a lot, I think, that we as Oceanside are getting right, and we're even actively working on, but practicing community as in the kingdom is a complete counterculture. It is opposite to the world. And it's a place that we as Jesus followers need to wage war on division, segregation, social, age, and even cultural walls. It's about waging war. But what do I do about it, and what is my role? I'm so glad you asked, and I'm even happier that you recognize that you have a role to play. Let's look at some early church examples of community. I want you guys to turn with me to Acts 2, verses 42 and 47. That's Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. Wow. As any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now that's pretty extreme. I mean, if I think about selling all of our possessions and bringing it into the storehouse, I mean, it's a great idea, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to come to that church, you know, as a new one, you know? If you're the most recent convert, you just walk in and there's just like blessing flowing. But if you're the one that walks in with the biggest house and the most cars and the most wealth that you've built up, that would be pretty hard, you know, unless your heart was totally in it. Now, I'm not saying we have to go back to that. It sounds pretty extreme, but we have to ask ourselves, if we were to be extreme for Jesus in today's times, what would that look like? Later in Acts 4, we see a similar example of an incredibly supportive community and support system. When we look at the early church, some scholars write that the church was seen as a local community, a community of believers who had to work together and learn to love one another. They were close-knit groups who regularly came together to participate in the Eucharist, which is breaking of bread or having a meal together. Their purpose was worship and to support each other in living in the example of Christ. Now, I have four areas of focus that I'd like to highlight that can help us push back on society's norms to challenge our thinking about what life in church could look like. Maybe even five if we get that far. Now, before I get into the points, I just want to take time for us. In fact, can I ask everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads? I'm going to pray. Lord, as we sit before you, I just pray that you help us settle our hearts, Lord, before you. And I pray that it's not just an idea or a concept of how cool it would be to be able to be better friends with the person sitting next to us. But Lord, we want your heart for community. We want to be able to look to your word, to look to you as an example, and even look to those that have come before us to practice your way, better way of living. And help us see that. Help us see it for our own lives, what that means for us in our neighborhood, what it means for us in our connect group, what it means for us even in our homes and with our families. And I pray that you would convict us of areas that we need to change and we need to grow with the fruit of extending your kingdom, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point I have is do not conform to the pattern of this world. Conformity is the act of matching attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors to group norms, politics, or being like-minded. That has a lot to do with the pattern of your thoughts and of your heart. In Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. As believers, people that are living for Jesus. Now, I say that because some of us might be here for the first time and you've never made a decision to follow Christ. You're not even sure what you believe or how you even ended up here this morning. And that's okay. This is a safe place for you and we are thrilled that you are here. If you're listening online and you're still trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus or to commit your life to him, that's okay. But there's a lot of people here that have walked a road with God. Maybe it's 3 weeks, maybe it's 3 months, maybe it's 30 years. All of us have a part to play in our individual walks. We are working towards being aware of the condition of our minds and the condition of our hearts. In a marriage, I've been married, we've just celebrated 18 years, and it's been a joy. But in marriage, I can tell you something, that when it comes to relationships and arguments, or if you want to call them disagreements, you know, it depends on your family of origin and how flary and flamboyant you can be in those disagreements. That's for the privacy of your own home. But if Janine and I got to the first set of arguments, and every time we had a disagreement, a difference of opinion, related to how we were brought up, what we believe, what God has revealed to us, I could have taken those things and put them on a page and started keeping records. And after 1 year, I could stick it up on the fridge and I'd say, you know what? This is too much. I'm out, okay? It's not worth it. And you know what? The reality of today is there's probably, I don't know, 40 or 50% of the people living in this room that have got divorce in their family. Maybe parents, maybe brothers, sisters, who knows? And I can tell you, marriage is not easy. Relationships are something that you got to work at. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the effort. Now, I could have walked away, or Janine could have walked away. I think she had a lot more to complain about than what I did. I have history. But thankfully, she knew she was called to marry me, and I her. But we took those things and we worked through them. Okay, everything that happened. I mean, there's still things that come up that maybe we've been dealing with for years, but we're getting closer, you know, every year. It's better and better. But the joy, the peace, the system that has been created in my home with my kids, with what my parents have experienced through my actual family, her parents, like brothers and sisters. I've got like my in-laws sitting in the front here, yeah, which is an absolute joy to have them. Like I cannot tell you the depth and the blessing and how far wide and how deep that goes because of those things we work through. When it comes to community, it's very easy for us to arrive at a church and say, oh, they don't have a drummer again. I don't know if this is the place for us, you know? Or Leah's up again. I thought that one time was it. No, they brought me back for one more time. Or your connect group. You think, oh man, I've been going there for 4 weeks, but I really don't like the way they lead, you know? Or that guy that's sitting next to me, I can't remember his name, but man, he's a little weird, you know? He's touched. I don't know how much you know Jesus, but there's some dynamic there. You can choose to walk away and go look for a perfect church. I can tell you, it does not exist. Perfect people does not exist, okay? Not here, not anywhere. But you can choose to walk out, or you can choose to dip yourself into the community, recognize that Jesus has called us to community, called us to serve his church, love his bride, and embrace it. Work through all those things. And yes, sometimes you might have a situation where you need some elder involvement or some other leadership to iron through a situation. You might have knocked heads with someone. That is family. That is relationship. But that is how you grow. Imagine every time our children like came across a struggle, you just completely removed them every single time. And then they never got a chance to learn those things. You know, whether it's climbing over a hill or falling off a bed or whatever. I feel like I'm really going off my notes here. Let me find myself here. There is a part for all of us to play in our relationship and faith in God. We don't just find Jesus, decide to follow him, and in a moment become pure in thought, a dear and caring friend, clear of any selfishness, and the rock star of all church volunteers. Which, by the way, if you're a volunteer, we thank you, we love you, I appreciate you so much, especially those that get to look after my energetic dear son at Kids Church. You know who you are. I thank you. No, we come to Jesus and surrender, yes, wholeheartedly. We accept Jesus for everything that he is to us. But then the work begins to clean the house out. If you think that there's no cleaning, you obviously aren't married and aren't speaking to anybody. And you're not in any relationships because there is a lot of cleaning. That's why we need Jesus. In Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to the will of the Father and to work for his good pleasure." God's ways are not our ways. We have a part to play in working out that salvation. And that doesn't mean just coming to church on a Sunday morning and going home and living your entire week exactly the same way that you've been living it for 14 years. And then when you have a conversation with a friend over coffee, you can't understand why there's no victory in your life, no change. Why you don't feel convicted about sin, why you don't understand the scriptures, or you just feel nothing when you read, or why during worship, the person next to you may be in tears, or the person in front of you is on their knees, or some you see things happening, but for you, it's just the same. God's ways are not our ways. The world says, do whatever makes you happy. Be true to yourself. If you don't like it, then cancel it. Live free. Follow your desires. That's what the world, now more than ever before, the world is saying, whatever is true to you, to your heart, go with it. Because clearly, human hearts have always been right, if we look at history. We've done so many things right, and every generation that comes, for that generation, they are the most right, and they will do it better. Until 20 years, we look back and we're like, oh my gosh. If we apply that logic to something everyday normal as parenting, child services will come and take your kids away. Even owning a pet and applying this kind of thinking will ultimately lead you to mistreating your furry little friend. Why? Because real love decides, commits, it digs deep, it's in it for the long haul. You push past the diapers, the crying, or the pets whining and chewing on everything. Cleaning solids and liquids of very stinky material or nature from a carpet. It doesn't feel fun to clean up after your dog on the side of the road at an intersection while people are driving past and staring at that stop sign. Any social class of person is leveled right there, waiting for their dog to bend over. It's quite funny. It doesn't make you feel happy to get home and the corner of your new IKEA love seat is ripped to pieces because your cat wanted a good leg and nail stretch. It doesn't make you feel true to yourself when you have to activate the low shout voice with the added stink eye to manage the meltdown of your three-year-old in aisle five at the superstore. But in all these situations, we have made solid decisions and commitments to serve, to train, correct, protect, and care for these kids or miniature poodles that lasts for decades, not just days, weeks, or months, decades, long haul, commitments, because we know we have a responsibility and we are called to raise those kids. It is on us. It leads me to my next point, which is number two. This is my church, my community, my family. God has called me to embrace it, to serve it, to love it and help it grow. John 13, verses 34 to 35. I think on the screen, there's probably the ESV. I've got it here on the NIV. Jesus talking, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I'm so sorry if you have been in church at any time in your life and you have not felt loved. We are not a perfect people and we have a lot to learn from God, and our biggest heart is to stand before God and say, Lord, help us. But if that's you, I'm sorry. But I also call on you to look past that and say, what is my role? What is God calling me to do for my local church, for my local community? Whether new or you've been there for 20 years, there is always more, right? And I would love the idea that doesn't matter what the world's doing outside, doesn't matter how much brokenness is there, when someone hits a wall, they would know that when they walk into church, man, it is a counterculture. It just looks different. Like, it makes no sense why all these young people will be hanging out with these old people and all these trendy people are hanging out with people that have no dress sense whatsoever. Different cultures, different colors of skin, different sports interests. It just doesn't make sense. But there's love. There is support. There is just the kind of thing that once you join it, it's impossible to walk away from. Even when your brain starts telling you that maybe you've got doubts and you're not sure, when you get to the door, you say, how can I leave this? How can I leave people that are so dialed into making me last, to stand the test of time, to protect me, to help me grow, even when it means a stern talking to, because all of us are just trying to get closer to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And I don't think the writer is saying that it covers all your sins. I mean, Jesus is working on that. He's forgiven us, but there's still some cleaning out to do. But I really believe that what he's saying here is that when you love and you love each other deeply, it covers those person's sins and those person's iniquities and things that irritate you about those. If you love deeply, you overlook those things. You don't base your opinion on your experience and what you want to commit to on what those things are. Your love covers those things. It fights the same with a child. Like if I base my love on how sometimes my kids respond to my requests, then it would have been over a long time ago. But it doesn't. It's because the love that I have for them, just it lasts and lasts and lasts. Thank you, Jesus. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You can look, it's in your Bible. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So we, just a quick story, and I don't say this to brag. I say this because I feel like it's one of the first times in our lives where we had committed to a church where we didn't actually know what it was like. We came and visited Vancouver in 2018 on a bit of a reconnaissance mission. We thought that's where we were going to end up. And Mark and Debbie, who planted this church, I can't see if they're here today, but an incredible couple, served faithfully for so many years. Their daughter came and spent some time in South Africa, and we met her, and we hung out. I got on very well with her husband, and we used to skate together. And so when we came to visit Vancouver, we thought, well, it's pretty fitting for us to pop over to the island and just go see them. So we spent a night in Victoria, and Mark drove all the way down to Victoria just to pick me up the next day and bring me back to his house. And we spent some time with them, and we were only here for 2 nights. We climbed back on a plane, and we scrapped all of Vancouver's plans. We didn't even talk about it. Janine and I looked at each other and said, we are coming to the island, and we just feel like there's a purpose for us going here. And I called Mark a couple of weeks later, and I said, Oceanside is our home. And then when I put the phone down, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't even checked the online services. Like, I don't know what their preaching's like. I don't know what the worship is like. Like, what do they believe? I just felt like when I come here, I don't know if it was going to be 3 years or 30 years, but that this was the Christian community here, and this is what I felt God was calling me to. Now, I'm not saying that the first church you walk into, you just got to say, well, that's my home. You know, maybe they don't believe in everything in the Bible. That would be a red flag, you know? But beyond that, we have to recognize that this is Christ's body. People that love Jesus in all its forms and levels, whether new, old, deep, or shallow. And as long as you believe in the Bible, which if you say you're a Jesus follower, you kind of need to do it, works very well together. If you read the word, you cannot get around the fact that God calls us to love each other. Not shallowly, but deeply. As in a lifelong commitment to protect it, not cause division and speak badly of each other, but instead protect, build, encourage, pray for, fast for your leaders, as well as the new people, the people that are lost, the people that just got saved, the people that just got baptized. Like, what are they experiencing now? Some of them may be full of joy and excitement. Others, maybe they've now got a target on their back and they feel like the world is against them. You don't know, but it's up to us to protect them, to pray for them. But this is our church, it's our family. Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Psst, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mothers and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Jesus didn't forget who birthed him or who grew up fighting over the best sandcastle was. He was showing the crowd that the believers around you count. They're yours to accept and love. This leads me to my next point, which is make time count. A huge problem we all face daily is time. I read once that Bill Gates has always been obsessed with time because it's the one thing he can't buy. Don't throw it away, use it. Be efficient with it when it comes to community. Now, I'm no wizard on time management or scheduling by any stretch of the imagination. But I feel the Lord has been convicting me personally on not the big time constraints like work, family, church, or the important practice of brewing coffee, but on the small, simple things. The things that we do anyway, like sitting in the car to pick up your daughter. What is the best thing I can do for my community in these next 5 minutes in the car? Running or exercise. Is there someone that I can invite to join me for a run, ride, or climb? I mean, I'm still going anyway, right? So there's no extra time. And yes, maybe you won't have deep conversations to pray for, but it builds community. It builds relation. Long drives. Who can I call when I drive to Victoria? Am I so concerned on my playlist that that's all I want to get through? And like, I have times where I listen to podcasts and I plow through them. But these are the things that God has been convicting me about. It's like, if I can always make time, like 10 minutes to be able to phone someone and just check in. Eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You do this every single day. But with who? I mean, obviously your family. That's the most often, you know, obvious thing. But at work, during the week, there's a ton of times where you go and buy lunch or you make lunch and you walk to the corner of a site or an office or a kitchen, or you go sit in your car so you can listen to the radio or the music by yourself. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that's time that you've got anyway that's dedicated to food. How can you use those times, even if it's just for 2 minutes? You take a moment and you say, what can I do right now that may build community in our church? Well, I feel like shooting out for a coffee. Is there someone I can ask to meet me just for 30 minutes and tell them, say, hey, I've only got 30 minutes. Are you free? Maybe they say no, but that person knows that you reached out. As of 2022, the average daily social media usage of internet users worldwide amounted to 151 minutes per day. That's the average. Now, I know all of you in here are like, bro, I'm like 2 minutes a day. I'm so committed. But this is the average. So there's people that are way on the other end of the spectrum as well. They say the average Canadian adult watches TV for just over 3 hours per day. That's the average. Did you say something about not having time? I don't know. I think there's something else at play here. Get creative. Think about the people you know in your community. What are their needs? Helping someone move. I'm sorry, the Hatfields, I wasn't there yesterday. I'm sorry. Offering to change the tires for the winter. You know, maybe there's an older lady next door and you know that she's not like the wealthiest person, but she always goes to the shop to get everything changed. Like, why not knock on the door and say, hey, I'll do it for you. Or planning a holiday together. Those can be a lot of fun. They don't always go that well, but they can be amazing. An email. A simple email. Are emails only for work or too formal? There was a stage in life when writing letters was the only way to communicate internationally. Think about that person sitting at home late one night, alone, on a 2-hour scrolling or Netflix binge. and suddenly a caring thought for email or text comes through. Hey, buddy. Hey, friend. I've been thinking and praying for you. You're such a blessing to this community. We're so excited about your walk with Jesus and how God wants to use you to touch others. Meals. They say that Jesus was coming from a meal, at a meal, or going to a meal very often. Use this as fellowship. And I think in our home, we've got to overcome this challenge where when it comes to hosting and having a meal, we always turn it into a pretty big thing. Like, first of all, house has got to be clean, right? So it's like full house clean, everything in its place. And then the meal, I mean, my wife's a foodie, so I totally understand. I'm an eatie, so I like to eat. She likes to make. It works very well. But because of that, the meal prep always becomes huge, right? And so for us, it's always like, okay, well, what can we afford? We can't do it that often because it's all this meal prep. Now, her and I are busy in discussions at the moment to see how we can make this work more. But how about hot dogs? Now, Janine, I know we won't do hot dogs, okay? I know. But I'm just saying, like maybe for you, it's about making soup today so that tomorrow you can have someone over, even for an hour, and just say, hey, no big plans, the house is in a mess, just come, let's have some soup and talk. Or what about like calling someone up? And let's just say if you call up a single person or a student and say, bro, sis, we were thinking about you and your flatmates and I made you some lasagna or a decent quinoa salad. Please can I drop some off and say a quick hi? No student or single person will say, away from me, do not come. They'll be like, please, I'm desperate. I've been eating bread for 5 days straight. Maybe here with our church community, we need a little less caution and courtesy. And I'm not saying none. We must apply wisdom and tact, of course. But how are we looking different than the world out there? That leads me to my next point. Judging by the time, it's now my final point. Who is in my frame? Now, this is something like my pastor at our previous church spoke, did a whole series on. And it's a simple term, but it stuck with me, so easy to remember. Who is in my frame? Who is around me? Sit down and consider who God has placed around you. The three people at work in your office, the eight people in your connect group, or that couple that always sits behind you on Sundays, and you always have that awkward greet. Hi, how's it going? Who has God placed around you? Maybe there's someone that you know well, but you've never taken it past a certain point. You chat every day, you know what they've, you know, got an idea of their family, but you've never said, hey man, come over for a barbecue or let's grab a coffee outside of this work environment. Like just stepping over out of ourselves and our comfort zones. Like I am actually quite an introvert. That's why my watch told me down there to relax, because getting up here is not a comfort zone for me. Now I know there's many of you down there that are extreme introverts. And I'm not saying you've got to overhaul your whole life. But in the same way that we get to a point where we recognize sin in our lives and that it needs to change in order to process and create fruit, sometimes we need to step out. Romans 12, 9-13 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who you are need on. Practice hospitality. Can I ask the band to come up, please? Next scripture I want to read is Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's just an encouragement to remind ourselves that coming to church on a Sunday, being part of the community, it's something that we are called to. Now, obviously, if you're sick and ill, and everybody's got different situations, and COVID proved to us that you can just relax at home and watch TV and watch Sunday church all the time. And there's times for those, that. I mean, I know people that today are at home. Hi. Great, I'm glad you tuned in. But we, as long as we're in our comfort zones in every area of our life, if you think about someone that studied to be a doctor, or the most extreme athletes, if they chose to never do anything tough and just do what's easy and comfortable, they would never achieve those things. Even something as simple as just starting a career. Like, very few people just every day get up and jump up and be, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to go to work, and then drive and get to work. It's like that Lego movie, like everything is awesome. Like, it's a great dream, but it's through those commitments and those things that you commit to that, like, you're able to build a career that produces fruits, that you can support your family, that you can give to your local church, you can help other people, you can create a life. We are called to it. And I think to wrap this up, Andy asked me this morning, like, you know, for today's preach, like, what is there one thing or anything that I'm feeling on my heart? And it really is, I thought about people that have been walking a road with Christ for a while. And as I said earlier, it could be a couple of months, it could be a couple of years. But I've seen in my own life how easy it is to get to a place where the fighting starts to settle down and the fervency and the zeal inside of you just finds an easy track, and it just gets into like limp mode or just goes into neutral, and you're still coming to church and you're still a Christian, but you've gotten to a place where you don't have that soldier mentality anymore. You don't look to the community and say, I need to fight for these people. I need to protect them. Who is out there that is an injured soldier that's bleeding in the trenches, or is out there with that is on their own, dying? Like, who is in here that has never felt the love of Christ? That walks in here and doesn't see how much we love each other? Maybe it's because we don't. I don't know. But with Christ, there's always more. And my call to you is, this is your church. These are our people. If we're not going to do it, no one is going to. The Holy Spirit does his work. God does his work. But he doesn't reach in here and just suddenly touch everybody with the love that's so overflowing that you can't help but just sell all your possessions and walk in here and just be like, throw it all on the ground and just money and say, come, let us all just, you know, break bread together. I mean, it's a great picture. But we have a responsibility. That is why these scriptures, I've shared many of them, of a call to love each other, to push past. And if that is you, maybe we can all stand. My call to all of us this morning is basically to make a commitment to yourself, to God, to this church, to your community, or the community that you're part of. Maybe you're listening in, this is not your church you're visiting. We're so grateful that you visited. But this heart is not just for Oceanside. This is for the body of Christ. Okay, the world is on a 100-mile-an-hour trajectory, and you got millions and millions of people that are going one way, and the highway is massive, huge, wide. It's like a giant river. I shared this with the youth on Friday night. There is a massive river filled with millions and millions of fish that are hardly alive, just barely, just gasping for air, that are just flowing down this enormous river and just going one way. And it's almost as like that river is getting wider and wider. But for us that are in Christ, there is a call for us to stop swimming and just flowing and turn around. And just like the salmon that are here, is just to swim upstream, to fight all the norms. Push aside all the stuff that you think, oh, well, this is just my life. And we are not called to be the same every day. We are called to pick up His word and say, Lord, teach me, help me grow. Go to the person that seems far ahead of you in Christ and say, man, can you pray for me? Teach me. Speak into my life. I want to learn. Maybe there's someone that's new below you that's just come to Christ. Cover them with your wings. Bring them in. Say, hey, man, like I celebrate you. I'm praying for you. And when you say you're praying for them, go home and pray for them. Fasting. Like, when last did you fast? Not because you're on a diet, and because intermittent fasting is a new trend. When last did you say, you know what? I'm not going to say no to my flesh. I'm going to kill my flesh. Okay, you have two things. Our church is covered with a flesh that is this massive bodybuilder that is getting fed Nutri-Shake, protein shakes, donuts, steaks, everything all day long, all week long. And our spirit is this malnourished, thin, weak, little kid lying on the side. And when we come to a point of deciding Christ or not Christ, we wonder why it's so hard to refuse the flesh. The time has come for us to kill the flesh and say no more. Feed the spirit. Read the word. Pray. And if you can't do it alone, call someone in. Okay, if you're struggling in the home that you're in by yourself because you're a single person, hand in your notice and move into a digs where there's three more Christians. Okay, you can't just keep doing the same thing for years and years. We need to say no to the flesh. It's time for the body of Christ to stand up. It's time for us as believers to love each other and for us to look different. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, and our heart's cry is to serve you. Our heart's cry is to reflect your goodness and your kindness, the kindness that you showed us, the open arms, the true, deep love that overlooks all our faults. Lord, we want to reflect that. We want that to be what your bride looks like. This church, the body of Christ, we pray that you help us, Lord. I pray that you'd strengthen and give courage to every person here, everybody that's listening online, to stand up for what they know is right, to feed the spirit and to deny the flesh. And in that we start growing our church, loving each other, that we can be that conscious culture that the world needs. The world needs it. They don't know it, but the second they walk in, they'll know they need it because it's not out there. And we pray that you'd bless us with that. Help us, Lord. We do desire more. Our deepest desires, beyond all our earthly desires, oh God, is to serve you and to love you and to be stronger in you. We pray that you help us, and you also help us help each other. And we pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.